the preparedness of LCAA coaches as we bring in Coach Estes, able to jump in here quickly because he was on his way in here early, and now Coach Casey Randolph. It's, both you guys are subscribed to that, you know, if you're...
On time is late.
On time is late, so you guys are in. And
Early is on time. There you go.
So,
there you go.
You know, and Danny was in here early from Hudson as well, so... We got to appreciate the LCAA coaches coming in and filling in early. Well, Coach Casey Randolph in now. It's a little LCAA chat here with, again, Danny and then Ron and now you. And you're going to jump right into fire with Notre Dame Prep on Thursday night.
Absolutely. Well, actually, Friday night.
Friday night. You're
yep.
Friday.
Yep, that's right. Absolutely. You know, when Manchester chose not to continue our 118-year tradition. It was difficult because then we were looking for two games, game one and two, because Riverview Gabriel Shard stated safety reasons. They didn't want to play us anymore, even though they beat us in the playoffs about 4 or 5 years ago. And yeah, it's weird. You guys were talking earlier about the playoffs and how it's kind of eliminated certain divisions not playing others. Well, I think that us and Hudson really ran into some roadblocks with people not wanting to play us because you know, the perception is that, you know, both programs are pretty good and they don't want to get beat by smaller schools.
Right.
I guess that's what I think. So we were able to find Pontiac Notre Dame Prep, who is Division V powerhouse. I think they're ranked fifth right now. And, man, are we looking forward to the opportunity to be able to start a game that really matters.
Yeah.
Right? And I think Ron was talking about it with his game with Whiteford. It forces you over the summer to really be focused.
Yeah.
And, man, that's so much more fun.
For everybody.
Absolutely. You know, the kids are locked in. They realize what they have ahead of them. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge and an opportunity that we welcome, and I think we're going to be better for it.
Yeah. You know, I think as a coaching staff, you probably prepared, not differently, but with a certain focus.
Absolutely. And more of a sense of purpose.
Right.
You know, when you know your game one is not necessarily a challenge.
Not your stiffest opponent.
Yes, correct.
Right.
And, you know, this is a formidable opponent. And
you know, it's a good early season gauge of who you are and where you're at.
We're going to see where we're at right away.
Right,
yes.
You don't have to wait till the league schedule.
From the opening snap to the last whistle blows in that game, we're going to find out what we're literally made about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where our character is, where our toughness is, where our execution is. How we play defense, how we swarm the ball. We're going to find out everything we're going to know about Clinton football in that game one.
Right.
Well, and, you know, that's always key and critical, especially week one, because, you know, you're always having to replace some people from the year before, too. So to find out in that kind of a pressure cooker situation of, are these guys ready?
Absolutely. You know, and we're fortunate right now. We only graduated a handful of kids. You know, the year before, my first year, we had graduated 16 seniors, and most of those guys were starters and pretty special players. And last year, the kids we graduated were special players as well. So no knock on them. There just wasn't as many of them.
As many.
Right?
Correct.
And this year, we bring back quite a bit. And we'll see what that experience does for us. I think that coming in year two, they understand the standard. They understand the expectations, whether it's how we're going to play defense or how we're going to execute on offense and some of our rules that we apply, and their comfortability with each other, with us as a staff. And, you know, we got all the staff back and added a couple young guys, and it's a good feeling.
That continuity is so important, I think, to sustaining what you're trying to accomplish as coaches and as players. I mean, it goes both ways. Having the same coaches year after year after year is so important to kids feeling
absolutely
like, okay, I'm familiar with this. And when kids are familiar, they're comfortable, and they're ready to learn, and they're ready to perform at a high level.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'd been in staff for several years, but, you know, jumping into a head coaching role is different.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of our coaches took on different roles within the program, right? Different expectations. And a kid's being comfortable with that, you can see that throughout this summer and going into the season, where our kids are so much more comfortable. I think they're having a lot of fun right now.
Yeah.
And we're having fun as a staff, you know, because now coaches are coaching. You know, right. I don't have to go to every single group and coach coaches as much as we did last year.
Sure.
And that continuity, like you had said, is priceless.
Right.
I mean, we can really build on that. And the trust level
right.
is
huge. The relationships.
The relationships are deeper, you know, both on staff and with staff and players. And those things get you through a lot of tough situations.
Absolutely. And those happen.
Absolutely.
Over the course of a season, those happen.
Good luck, Coach. And we're going to have adversity.
Sure.
There's not a team out here that doesn't have adversity. It's how you handle the adversity. And the tighter you are, the more trust you have, the tighter your players. And I heard Ron talk about it, you know, learning each other when they went to camp.
Yep.
That's huge. You know, getting to know a kid that maybe was on the outskirts, but it's really going to help the team. Or
right.
just getting to know them and deepen that relationship, you know, that cements a program.
Right.
And really that's what Clinton's about, is program-wide. And I heard Danny Rogers talk about that and the little kids coming up. And
yeah.
and we do this. We do the same things in Clinton. You know, it's been a football town for a very long time, and
yeah.
we're hoping to continue that tradition.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's one thing we talked with Coach Gallagher as well, with just about, you know, year two on staff. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's a little different because he wasn't there where you are. You know, we're there, but still it's a different voice from what they were had before. You know, they listened to you, your position group listened to you. Or
right.
You know, now everybody does. And again, it's for you to talk about not having to micromanage as much with each coaches. You know, their position groups, they know what to expect now. They've done a year with you. You guys know where you're at and where you want them to be. And so it makes your role, being able to oversee everything, probably a little better and a little easier, because then you can kind of concentrate on where you really think things need to be at certain times and go, you know what, I can go over here because I know these guys over here are good right now.
Absolutely. That empowerment of your coaches and players, right? It's so powerful.
Sure.
And our coaches know that I believe in them. And they know that if I want to step in a drill and run something, it's not to step on any toes, but I like to coach too.
Right, yeah. right, exactly. It's not meant to be a threatening thing.
I have really worked hard with our staff to empower them to take ownership in everything that they do. And their feedback is vital to the overall evolution of this program and our players and our team. And I think that they have bought into that. I think they really appreciate that. And like we talked about a minute ago, our bond is stronger in year two than it was initially. And I think that comes with time. And, you know, like John, you've been on staff, coach football a long time,
yeah.
you know, at 20-some
yeah.
years. And the longer you're with guys, man.
You become like brothers.
Absolutely.
You really do.
You just trust
you
each
do.
Other.
Yeah.
And if you got a thought
yeah.
off the wall, you share it and you draw it up and you figure it out. And it might be a good one. It might be.
They'll maybe, tell you you're nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the camaraderie yeah. of coaching
absolutely.
So awesome.
Yeah.
And lifelong friends. And we hope to create those deep-seated relationships with our players.
Yep.
And, you know, that our community can be proud of as well.
Well, and I saw a post with that. I mean, you guys cooked a few steaks up the other day as a team.
We did. What a great tradition. Who doesn't like a good steak?
Yeah.
You know what? We have dads and moms come in, and it's all home cooking, and they're grilling for you. You know, we get out of the scrimmage. We're breaking down film. We're getting a lift in and other things. And then when we're done, we come out to a great steak and food
yeah.
and
yeah.
just sharing that camaraderie of what the program established long before we were there. And what a great tradition to continue.
Yeah,
I missed out on that one. They didn't do that when I was there. I liked the steak dinner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, not you.
No, not at all.
You like a two-steak dinner.
A two-steak dinner. There you go. That sounds
you and
even
me both.
That sounds even better. But well, who did you guys scrimmage, Coach?
We scrimmaged Whiteford.
Oh, okay.
Homer and Grass Lake.
Oh.
So we had a good scrimmage.
Pretty good, solid programs.
Yeah, you know, Whiteford, we played, you know, Homer first, and that was good for us to start with,
mm-hmm.
and then we went against Whiteford, and, you know, they bring it, you know,
yeah,
that was
oh,
really
absolutely.
Good for us, and we did some good things, they did some good things, and going into a scrimmage, you know, you want to teach your kids how to line up to certain things, but again, you're not game planning
right,
for a scrimmage,
right?
But it was fun. It was fun to mix it up because they want to run the ball and run it at you. And, you know, some say we like to do that as
don't
well.
Don't mind that yourselves.
Yeah. And then we finished with Grass Lake, which was a great finish because they're all spread and they run a lot of zone blocking and what we're going to see week one.
Yeah.
So it was, I kind of did that, you know, format on purpose.
Sure.
To see that, end with that, and because our comfortability with that at this point is pretty good.
Well, and I think, you know, the other thing you mentioned is staying healthy.
Staying healthy is critical.
You don't want to get banged up in your scrimmage.
Well, last year we had six total seniors, and we lost George Ames, two-way starter, for several years. You know, game three or four.
It was
the Ida game.
Right.
So I think it was game four. And that was a big blow for us.
Yep, sure. Game four.
So we had to make a lot of adjustments,
right,
both offensively and defensively, and it took us a while to get our feet under us, mm-hmm, a little bit, you know. And when we played Hudson, we lost our starting guard, you know, for the season.
Sure.
And we had to make adjustments.
Right.
And injuries play a factor, especially, absolutely, in small school football, but really any level football.
Any level.
One of your dudes get hurt.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah, when your best players get dinged up, I mean, it's going to have an impact on you no matter how big you are.
Right.
Yeah, that was in Ida. You had Hudson and Ida, the two losses. And then, you know, it took them so long that they won the next one 49-6, 63-6, 35-0, 43-6, put up 54. So
well,
I know what you mean,
Casey.
We had to.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, fortunately for us, you know, coming out of the Ida game was against a couple of teams that had been struggling.
Right. No, it made it easier for you guys to try to figure things out.
We benefited from scheduling a little bit. Obviously, I think Columbia Central was game five. Is that correct?
Yep.
So, and they were down.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. And that helped us to get our footing and get some young guys really good reps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about, you know, Ron bringing up halfway through the year after game five, those younger guys. Well, we were forced to do that because of injury.
Right.
And they got those good reps in a good situation. And then we really got traction, and the kids really understood what we were trying to do, and they bought in. They didn't like those close losses.
Right.
You know, I mean, because we were a whisker away from Hudson, we were a whisker away from Ida.
Right.
And then we were able to come back and beat Ida, which I think validated some things for us for the season, and lost a tough game in the regional final, which is too bad. But, you know, Michigan Center was a good team. I think they had 23 seniors, and I think us having the four playing seniors, because
right,
one of our seniors, Johnny Balky, was amazing.
Right.
Loved the kid, but he was a kicker only.
Right, right, right.
And not having Georgie, you know, left us with four seniors playing the game.
Yeah,
right.
That's not many.
No. And, you know, the further you go in the playoffs, you're going to play good teams.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to play slouches when you get 2-3 weeks into the playoffs.
And not honestly, with our schedule, especially from picking up our game one that we did,
yeah,
and shoot, game two, we travel all the way up to Flint.
Yeah, Mount Morris.
To Mount Morris.
Yeah.
And we don't get a week off.
Right.
And every coach in here has said the same thing.
Yeah.
We talked about it. You don't get a week off in the LCAA now that, you know, game one is the real deal. We're not going to get a week off.
Right.
You know what, though? That's awesome, because you said it earlier, iron sharpens iron.
And it keeps you focused.
And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to make sure that we continue in stride, that we're not having peaks and valleys throughout our season, that it's a steady climb to where we want to be at the end of the season.
Right, absolutely.
Well, I know, you know, since you jumped in, we got a little bit more time, so we can talk with you for a little bit. But, you know, when you look at this schedule and you look at, you know, the Notre Dame setup, in with Mount Morris, and is there any thought of that, because you know what your conference is going to be about? You know, are there things that you want to try to work on, or you know, I know you're not going to go in and say, look, you want to win the game, but does there come a point in time in some of those games too where you go, you know what, we've had our scrimmage, but we've got this game here and I really need to try to work on this, or I really want to see if this works? Do you think about some of those things too, or just saying, you know what, we're here to win the game?
Well, I think for us and our mentality is year two, we're so far ahead of where we were last year as far as install, as far as the development in our offense, how much we can do defensively. So we're putting those things in practice as opposed to trying things in a game, because honestly, we want to hit the ground running
right
when it comes game one, so that we're full steam ahead. And that way, when people start adjusting to what it is that we're doing, that we have the adjustments ready in our back pocket already,
right,
that we can counter that as well. So it's not a thing that we're going to try different things in certain games. I think it's just a matter of getting comfortable with the different offenses and the different different ways people try to defend you, because you know it's like a box of chocolates. Some guys with the T, they'll pack a lot of guys in the box. Yeah. Some people flex their linebackers. It just depends on what their team is and what right. their team is made of, right? Right? They feel like they have a lot of speed. They'll try to fly to C gap from off the ball and you know give you havoc, or they'll try to mull you or you know take out your guards and right. do different things. And for us, it's just about continuing to develop so that we can adjust on the fly on the field, no matter what they're trying to do to us.
Right.
Yeah, and that is, as you mentioned, being able to be so comfortable that in practice, you know, you should have the basics down.
Yep.
So when you're installing something, you're able to do that because the basics are second nature.
Yeah, that's for us, I think we're going to be able to do a lot more than we did last year, which is exciting, you know. Yeah, obviously, we're going to run the ball. That's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah.
That's
in your identity.
It's in my DNA.
Yeah.
And you got to run the ball to win games. And there's a lot of people that want to sling the rock around. And that's probably a little more exciting for fans. But we're there for players.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there for our community and make them proud. And at the end of the night, they can look up at the scoreboard and know our kids were give their blood, sweat, and tears and battled and mm-hmm. showed some heart and hopefully put a W on the board.
But some of those runs when you've got guys that got a lot of speed and have some big things that, you know, you can break off that 2-yard run and turn it into an 80-yarder. Yeah. And those are just as exciting as that long pass, you know.
Well, they are. And
the fans still cheer when the running back breaks into
that's
the clear.
Right. Well, and we definitely have some dudes, you know. Braden Lehman said 2 1,000-yard seasons
right.
already going into a senior year. Nick Shadley, as a sophomore, had 1,000 yards for us last year.
Yeah.
You know, we return a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, we're not returning all 11, but we return a lot. And it's exciting to see their maturity, you know, as players, as young men, and what that brings to our team and program is you can't put a price on leadership and kids turning into seniors and really becoming
yeah.
what you'd hope they'd become.
Yeah.
You know, when you saw what you saw early as a freshman or sophomore, and
right.
then they're turning into those men that you knew they could be, it's
yeah.
that's a lot of fun.
It's very rewarding.
Absolutely.
Very
and that's
rewarding.
That goes far beyond the scoreboard. And,
yeah.
you know, it's that relationships piece, and I think Danny Rogers was talking about that as well. And what we do is all about relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, because kids need to know we care about them before, you know, before we care about a win.
Right, right.
Now, who's going to be under center for you?
Right now, it's a battle. So we have a junior, Corey Perry,
okay.
and a sophomore, Andy Fair. And, man, it's close. It's a lot of fun. So I'm not going to reveal anything
you
right now.
You got like a Jim Harbaugh problem. Am I going to go with
yeah.
this one or that one?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, each one of them possess great attributes. Each one of them are phenomenal young men. And we can't go wrong with either,
right.
I can tell you that.
And my guess is the one that doesn't end up being quarterback might help you somewhere else.
Well, right now they're probably both going to start on defense,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And regardless of who starts, you know, the other one's going to find their way offensively as well. They're,
sure.
You know, those are, you just look at kids like that and you got, how do I find a way on the field,
yeah. right.
right, for each one of them?
Sure.
And
how can they contribute?
Absolutely. And they will definitely do that, and we'll be excited to have them wherever they're at.
Nice. Good well, problem to have.
Yeah.
It is. Well, again, Ian will be out there on week one.
Awesome.
Covering that game. He's mad at me.
Wagner Field.
I didn't want to be – I couldn't be a homer if I did too many Clinton games. So, got to bring somebody else in there as well. And then we laugh at that. But, again, it is going to be a great game to start and kick it off with.
Absolutely. Should be a big crowd. Wagner Stadium is definitely a special place to play with
yeah,
that
yeah.
natural bowl.
Yes.
You know, that's a pretty unique
yeah.
football atmosphere.
Absolutely.
You know, that if you're a football person, you really like watching games
yeah.
there.
That's yeah,
that bowl.
A neat place to watch a game.
Ran up them damn hills enough.
Yep. I'm sure our players would say that right now, too.
Oh, man. Again, Casey, appreciate you
yes.
coming in, and good luck on the season.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having us in. Thanks for hosting. Thanks to Hometown
yes.
for hosting
yeah.
us. Appreciate it.
Yes,
that's
very
awesome.
Good.
Did you get yourself a slice?
Not yet, but I'm eyeing.
Because he
keep
walked
looking
right
over
in.
There. As I listen to the guys come in the door, I keep looking at that pizza over there.
Making sure it's still
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to send it back to Trevor.
Thanks,
we'll be back in a bit. Hour number three coming up right here on 96.5 The Cave, as we are live inside the cave from the Hometown Pizza in Manitow Beach. Jeff Bowman, John Roberts right here, 96.5 The Cave.